Warner. That was good. Thank you. You know, it's great to have Dad visiting with us. Last night, we had one of our grandsons that spent the night. Now, I'm a coffee drinker, you know that. And so Dad's a coffee drinker, and so we can fellowship around the coffee pot. And so we was up this morning drinking coffee, and little Andrew was walking around, you know, just as a little boy would do. And I made the mistake of forgetting, if you will, that we had a little one in the house. And so I set my coffee down low on a coffee table, and he picked it up, found my briefcase, and poured it in my briefcase. And can I tell you, my briefcase holds coffee very well. And so then he poured it on the floor and stuff like that. And so, you know, we've been praying that about changing the color of our carpet. And I figure this out, if I have the grandsons over often enough, our prayers would be answered just like that. And so Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18, here we see that we're reminded that he's the firstborn of that which is the dead. And we also are reminded here that he is the one that is supposed to have preeminence in our life. We're also reminded here in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 19 that it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And I know that God has been good to us. God has been so good to us. We live on his planet. We get to breathe his air, and we get to walk on his soil. And he has been good to us because he has given us so many benefits. Matter of fact, the Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof in the book of Revelation. And so as we step out and we're able to breathe the fresh air, we realize that it's a blessing to be here and to be alive at this time in our life, to be able to enjoy the bountiful blessings that God does bestow upon us. But in our nation, in our country, if we're not careful, we'll lose focus of that during the Christmas time. We begin to focus maybe on each other. We begin to focus, and that's not bad, by the way, but we begin to focus on things, and that's not bad, by the way, either. But when you start to focus on each other and you start to focus on things more than you focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe that it takes away from that which is something that you could use as a tool to be able to share the gospel with other people. And Christmas time is a great time to be able to do that. It's a great time to be able to talk to people about Christ. It's a natural door that opens. It's a wonderful way to be able to talk to people about Christ because of that door that does open and to be able to share the gospel with other people. And so in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18, you'll see here that it's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ and about how he is supposed to be the one that is supposed to be preeminent, if you will, please, in all things. Don't take away from the opportunity to be able to share with your children the true meaning of Christmas. Don't take away from the opportunity to share with them the blessings that they do receive, because God has certainly been good to you. And so let's notice some things here, maybe some areas to focus on as we look at the very first, if you will, please, Christmas, and why is it that we ought to make him first? And what are some areas that you and I ought to examine in making Christ first in our life? Let me give you a couple of them. Statement number one, make him first in your thoughts. Make him first in your thoughts. You know, the Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he. So make him first in your thoughts. In the book of Luke chapter 1, verses 46 through 47, you'll see that Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in my Savior. Then you'll notice in verse 19 that Mary kept all these things. Now watch what happens when Mary keeps all these things. The Bible says, and pondered them in her heart. And so she was not just understanding who Christ was. She was not just understanding who Emmanuel was. She was not just understanding the Christ child, the Savior of the world, and who he was, but she pondered those things. Now, what's that mean? That means she thought upon them. She thought upon them. Now, there's no better season in all the world than to celebrate Christmas, as Christmas, by the way, is celebrated in many regions around the world. And as we do that, we also ought to be like Mary and ponder. We ought to think upon these things. Let them resonate with you. You know, one of the things that Mrs. Wells, my dear wife Sylvia, loves to do is we like to go out, and she really likes to look at lights. I mean, to drive through the neighborhoods and to be able to see the splendor that people have decorated their houses with. lights. And she loves to be able to do that. Now, can I tell you, there's no other time of year when people decorate like they decorate here during the Christmas season. You get to see some wonderful decorations in different places that you do go. So think upon those things. Somebody said thought turns into an action turns into a habit, and a habit turns into a lifestyle. So before you get down the road of practicing a lifestyle, perhaps you ought to first think about the end result of where that's going to wind up. All right, so think before. It was Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, which is very good, he said to think twice before uttering one word. And so it's good to think upon things before you utter them out of your mind. As a person does think, certainly they will become. Statement number two, make him first in your serving. Look for ways to serve people. It's not all about you. It's not all about the things that you get. It's not all about the things that you want. It's not all about the things that you believe that you deserve. It's not all about the things that people can do for you. But look for some things that you could do for other people. Look for some things. You say, oh, preacher, but I don't have a lot to be able to give somebody else. Give them yourself. You know, when you give somebody yourself, that's the greatest gift you could ever give. When your mom and dad spends time with you, that's the greatest gift they could ever give. When you spend time with your parents, that's the greatest gift you could ever give. When you spend time serving the Lord, and when you spend time putting Christ first enough to be able to attend a church service, can I tell you, that gets his attention, and that's the greatest gift that you could ever give, is to give yourself. Now, I'm a pastor, and you understand that. But I'm also more than just a pastor. I'm a personal friend to many of you. And can I tell you that as a pastor, when I step up in a pulpit, and I do know that during the Christmas season, people travel. I do know that people take vacations. But when I step up in a pulpit and I see different ones that are not here, my heart breaks and it sinks. You know why? Because I'm trying to help to pastor them. I'm trying to help to shepherd them. I'm trying to help to become that pastor in their life and the life of their children, whereby they can make scriptural, principally driven decisions that would be better for them than those decisions that are without Christ. All right? And so make him first in your serving. Look for people to be able to serve. There was the Duke of Bohemia. The Duke of Bohemia was reverenced as one of the most noble men in all the land. One of the biographies that was written about him said that he would rise up in the evening hour with the express purpose to be able to go out to visit the churches just to be a blessing. After visiting the churches just to be a blessing and trying to help and trying to meet the church's needs, he would visit the orphans, not to be able to get, but be able to give just to be a blessing. After he did that, he would visit more often than not the poor just to be a blessing. He would find the widows and he would find those that were in prison, and he would find ways to be able to visit them just to be a blessing. At his death, he became known as the father of all the wretched. The father of all the wretched. You know, he was an individual that decided he would give, and he would give, and he would give. All right, so, you know, make first serving him, if you will, in your life. So make him first when it comes to your thoughts. Make him first when it comes to serving. Statement number next. Make him first when it comes to time. 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 You know, we think about the tithe, and we have taught about that. I preached a message Sunday night on the tithe and the offering. What does God expect? How is it that God says in the book of Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, that God only one time in the Bible promises you that if you do what that scripture says, he'll fill your barns? Now, what is it that God says he requires of you as a believer so that he can fill your barns, all right? And so we've taught about those things, but can I tell you also that one of the things that we need to be concerned about is our time. Giving God, what if you were to tithe off your time? What if you looked at your life and said, okay, let me just figure it out. Am I giving God 10% of my time? Am I giving God 10% of that which is my talent? And above the 10% that I'm giving him of my time and of my talent, am I also giving him an offering on top of that? You know, God is very concerned about our time. He is very concerned that he has a part in that which is our time. So we understand this, that we ought to spend, if you will please, time serving him. As you think about Mary, the handmaid of the Lord, and according to the word of the Lord, that God spoke to her heart and showed her exactly what to do, and she gave of herself in serving, but in so doing, she gave of her time. You also see in the book of Luke chapter 2 and in verse 16, the Bible says, "And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger." Now, it took time to get there. I said you could tell that these were guys because these were men that were wise men that were bringing gifts and whatnot, and they didn't take time to wrap the gifts. So you could tell they were men, and you could probably tell they were wise men because they didn't take time to wrap the gifts. I mean, after all, somebody's going to unwrap them anyway. That's about how some figure about why make the bed. It's going to get laid in anyway. That's not a really good thing to think about. Amen. Well, why iron the clothes? They're going to get, okay, let's not go there, okay? You know, I think you ought to look sharp. I think you ought to take care of things. I think you ought to put God first in everything that you do. But I also think that you ought to make sure that you give God that which is time in your life. You know, our kids grow up ever so quick. You know how it is. Our daughter, of course, 21, and of course, Jonathan's 29, be 30 this next year. You know, and the two guys in the middle there. And can I tell you, time just seems to pass by ever so quickly. You know, and so make sure that you're able to spend time with each other. Make sure that you have that good, wholesome relationship with your wife. Now, wait a minute, watch this. With your husband and also with friends around you too. You know, make sure that you're pouring yourself into other people as well. Okay, don't if you will, please, grow on your own little island and just allow the world to pass you by without trying to be a blessing and a help and an encouragement to people along the way. Step number one, make him first in your thoughts. Step number two, make him first in your serving. Step number three, make him first in your time. Step number next, make him first in your communication. Make him first in your communication. It was Borden of Yale that bears the name that is on the milk, Borden's milk. He said that he made a commitment to God many years ago that he would talk to nobody in the morning until first he had talked to God. He would shake the hands or handle nothing in the morning until first he'd folded his hands in prayer as he would go to God. He would use his legs for nothing until first he had knelt on bended knee to be able to talk to God. It was John Wesley that said, "The most tragic day in my life, as I do remember, is the one or two days in my life that I left God out from meeting him early in the morning." And so make a communication with God. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, "I want God to be so close to me that when I look up to heaven and say, 'God, I sure do love you,' that God's going to look back down and say, 'Charles, I know.'" You know, make that relationship with God and your communication the way it ought to be. Luke chapter 2 and verse 17, the Bible says, "And when they had seen it," it says, "they made known abroad," it says, "the saying which was told unto them concerning the child." Okay? And so make that communication. Isn't it so good? I love this. I love passing out. Of course, you know what I'm going to say. I love passing out the tracts. And we printed just recently 5,000 of those Jesus is the Reason for the Season tracts. And I think maybe we have about 30 left. And that's about it. And so you've done a great job over the past 3 weeks or so passing out that many tracts. Fantastic job. But I love passing out tracts. I just love doing it. I try and keep them with me everywhere I go, and everywhere I go, I'm passing them out. And I cannot begin to tell you how many people. We just had a lady come Sunday, and she said, "Receive one of the gospel tracts." And so she came because somebody left it on her door. Now, I do believe that God uses things like that. And I believe that God could use you to be able to communicate the truth to people if you so wanted to communicate that truth with people. So marvel on what he's done for you. Man, I'm so glad I'm saved. I'm so glad I'm going to go to heaven. I'm so glad I know it for sure. I'm so glad if I take my last breath, my next breath will be in heaven. You know, this month of December, I think I have preached three funerals that were either members or relatives of members that was in our church. And of course, we just had somebody else just to lose their daughter. And so I've been busy about funerals this month and trying to help people and comfort people and try to, I was down at the funeral home right this afternoon, and I was down to the funeral home and I was walking around and I was talking to people and I said, look, if you need me, you holler and I'll be there and I'll try and comfort and try and walk beside you during this time in your life. You know, it's a wonderful time. Now, don't get me wrong, but it's a wonderful time to be able to love people when they go through times of tragedy. And can I tell you, that's when they need somebody. They need somebody to walk beside them. They don't need to be lonely and they don't need to be left out, but they need somebody to walk beside them during that time. What do you do? Communicate. Communicate. Communicate to your loved ones how much you love them. Communicate. Don't let it go by. Don't let the time pass. I tell you, as a dad, one of the things I do with my children, and as a husband, one thing I do with my wife, is when we talk on the phone, we always say before we hang up, sure do love you. Sure do love you. You know why? Because you don't know when the last click is going to be. You have no idea. And so we make sure we share those things. That's important. So take time. Take time. And make him first in your communication. Statement number next. Make him first in your giving. Make him first in your giving. Matthew chapter 2 and in verse 11, the Bible says, and when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, fell down, worshiped. The Bible says, and they opened their treasures and they presented unto him treasures, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So make sure that you keep him first in giving. Now I'm talking about keep him first in giving to make sure the gospel. He said, I came to seek and to save. Watch this. I came to seek and to save. Stay with me. I came to seek and to save that which was lost. And he said, as I was sent, he said, so send I you. As the Father hath sent me, so send I you. All right? And so make sure that you're able to communicate through way of giving. The missionaries that we have to be able to support them. The buses that we run to be able to reach out into the communities of those that are underprivileged and they can't come to church because they don't have an other way to be able to come to church. Or in a rescue mission, if you will. Or reaching out, if you will, in other areas to be able to help those that need Christ to be able to come to Christ. So make sure that you give and give of yourself as well as of your means. There was a fellow by the name of Harry Parsons Caldwell. Harry Parsons Caldwell. If you remember, he's the founder of the company of Quaker Oats and had many other successful businesses that he had underneath him. Well, what he did, he said, look, I gave and I gave, and he supported Dale Moody, the great evangelist and American pastor, and he gave and he gave and he gave, and then he said, but I don't want it to stop there. And so he set up a stock. Now, this is many years ago when the Quaker Oats was founded, but he set up a stock, if you will, to be able to help out. It was some type of stock program that he put, and what happens now, even today, it supports the gospel as it goes out. He's been dead for years, but he's still clipping coupons, still clipping coupons. You know, sometimes it pays to think ahead. Pastor friend of mine went home to be with the Lord, and he said, I'm not going to be here for one of my daughters is going to be turning 16, and I'm not going to be here, he said, for her birthday. He said, I'm just not going to be here. He had cancer and he was dying. And he said, but you know what I decided to do, Brother Wells? And I thought this was good. He said, so I made her a CD. And he said, well, I still was able to do that. I sat behind my desk and I shared my heart with my daughter as to how I would like for her to live. And if I was alive to be able to talk with her right now. And he said, I made that DVD, and I told my dear wife, when she turned 16 years of age, and you sit beside her, because I don't want to be taken the wrong way, but I just want to share my heart with her as she turns 16. Now, can I tell you, that's called thinking ahead. That's called thinking ahead. One other pastor, he went home to be with the Lord, and he said, I want to make sure I've always treated my wife well during anniversary times. And so he planned out her next two anniversaries so that she would receive a nice gift. And he said, I'm looking down from heaven. I'm watching you. All right? Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying, you know, make sure that you participate in giving what the Lord would have you to give in the lives of others and through the church and during the Christmas season and year round. So make him first in your thoughts. Make him first in your serving. Make him first in the time that you give. Make him first in your communication. Make him first in your giving. Make him first in your praise. If anybody deserves praise, it should be the Lord. Amen. Years ago when I became pastor, somebody would compliment somebody for singing. I said, you know, maybe what you ought to do when somebody compliments you for singing or somebody compliments you for giving a Bible lesson or compliments you for preaching, whatever the case may be, why don't you say this, praise the Lord? Instead of just saying thank you. But reflect that praise back to the Lord. Because if it wasn't for the Lord, you would not be able to do what you're presently doing. Luke chapter 2 and in verse 20, the Bible says, and the shepherds returned, it says, glorifying and praising God, it says, for all things that they had heard and seen, and it was told unto them. So as they returned and they were praising God for the things that they saw, for the things that they had experienced there, as they were praising God, other people saw it too. Now, isn't that good? You know, you don't have to live like he's dead because he's not. You can praise God. And by the way, use, if you will, please, words that identify you with Christ, even in the general public area. Don't be afraid to use words like, oh, praise the Lord, in talking in a general way. You say, well, people might get the wrong impression. Yeah, I know. They might get the impression that you're saved. You know, use words, use terminologies. You know, when something good happens to you, in the grocery store even, don't just save it for church, but in the grocery store, when you find something on sale and it's a good sale, then say, oh, praise the Lord, this is a blessing. People are going to look at you. Oh, you say preacher. They'll look at me weird. Well, they're supposed to. They're supposed to. You know, I've said this before, we live in such an anti-Christ presence right now. Let's bring Christ back in. Amen. Bring him back in, all right? And make sure you do it in the way that you talk. You know, say words like hallelujah. Boy, that'd be foreign, wouldn't it? All of a sudden, God blesses you with something. You say hallelujah. People in the world, they have no idea what that word means. You know, praise the Lord. You know, say amen. They'll look at you like, oh, what do you mean amen? Where's amen? Shouldn't it be a man? You know, I mean, they don't have the term. And all right, and what that does is that opens it up. I had a fellow that came to our office. His name is Victor. And Victor came to my office, I think it's yesterday. And I'm inquiring about different things for our staff and whatnot, for the retirement and stuff. And I want to try and help him on some stuff. And so I called him in, and he came in, and I sat down with Victor. And Victor was talking. He gave me all of his stuff that he does and stuff like that. And then I had some staff people in the office with me. And I said, now, why don't you go ahead and go? I said, Victor and I, we're going to continue our talk. And so they took leave. You know, and I said, now, Victor, you've told me all these wonderful things, and you're a businessman, and I'm a caring Christian, and so I've got to ask you a question. If you die today, do you know for sure you go to heaven? He said, you know, I've been pondering that for years. I said, you know, I can help you stop pondering that. I can show you exactly what the Bible says. So let's just kind of go through it together, and let me show you. You've come to help us. Now it's my turn to help you. All right? You know, don't be afraid to talk to people about the Lord. I went into hospitals a lot this week, you know, and so, boy, I carried those tracts, and I was passing them out. I passed them out to nurses. I passed them out to doctors, and I'm passing them out to everybody. And I said, Merry Christmas, and giving them those gospel tracts. And the one doctor looked at me, and he said, well, thank you very much. Hey, this is pretty neat. I said, yeah, it's pretty neat. Let me tell you what it says, and was able to witness to him. You know, don't be afraid to talk to people. Don't be afraid. You know, let God use you. By the way, you've only got one shot at this thing. You've only got one shot at this thing. You know, soon your life will be over. You know, and so use the time that you have wisely and make a great indentation for Christ. Don't just leave this earth being somebody that's nominal, but you leave this earth leaving a trail of people behind. I witnessed to somebody in the hospital. It's so funny. I witnessed to somebody as I was driving up. I gave them a gospel track. I was down here at the Children's Hospital, and I always do the valet parking. And so I pulled up to the valet parking, and I gave this guy a track. You know, he's the guy that was going to be the attendant. And I gave him a track, and he said, "Hey, don't you remember me?" I said, "No, I don't remember you. I'm sorry." He said, "You gave me this last time you came by and you talked to me." I said, "I did. I talked to you." I said, "What did I talk to you about?" He said, "Christ." I said, "Well, great. What'd you do?" "I don't remember him." I said, "What'd you do?" He said, "Well, I bowed my head and prayed and asked Christ to save me last time you came." He said, "Wasn't that good enough?" And I said, "Yeah, I think that was good enough." And he said, "Preacher," he said, "I'll take care of your car, but I'm not charging you." He said, "You know, I thank God somebody took time enough to show me how to be saved." I said, "Well, that's great. I'll see you in heaven one day. Thank you for taking care of my car." And I went up, made a visit, and came back down. You know, can I tell you, there's people out there that are grateful that when you take time to show them their need of Christ, and you don't have to be somebody that is super spiritual. You don't have to be, come on now, you don't have to be somebody that has a great personality. You can be dry as dead wood. But, you know, to talk to people, just talk to people. You'd be amazed how many people want to know Christ. You'd be amazed how many people, they're just waiting for somebody to talk to them. Just waiting for somebody to take time with them. And you don't have to be pushy. You don't have to be snobby. You can talk to them very gently and introduce them to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and let them see their need of receiving Christ. And you'll be amazed at what God could do in their lives just by gentle persuasion and using the Scriptures. Now, can I tell you, so be able during the Christmas season, especially during the Christmas season, to be able to take your time and focus on Christ with your thoughts. Focus on Him first with your serving, with your time. Focus on Him first with your communication, with your giving, and with your praise. Then let me give you this, and I'm done. Focus on Him, if you will, with your restoration. Focus on Him with your restoration. You say, "What's that all about, preacher?" Well, I'll tell you what it's about. Restoring people. Restoring people. You know what I find out? That people that are broken need somebody to walk beside them. People that are hurting need somebody to walk beside them. I was standing there just beside a couple of different people that was at the funeral home just a little bit, and one of the ladies came up, and she was standing there, and I met her before, and she came up, and she's in her 70s, and I said, "Well, how you doing?" And I grabbed her and I hugged her. I said, "How you doing? Are you okay?" And she just started to perk up a little bit and just started to talk and just had a good time of fellowship. Now, can I tell you, restore people. Restore people. Work on helping people. Listen. Let me help you. Stay with me now. Listen to me. I don't care what you've done in your past. I don't care if you have messed up beyond compare to other people in what they would call messing up or sinning. God still wants to use you. God still wants to reach out and help you. God still wants to be able to have you serve Him, and look for a way to serve Him. Look for a way to be able to be used of God to be able to restore someone. I was talking to somebody just a couple weeks ago, and they said, "Preacher, you don't understand." They said, "You don't understand. I've fallen so much that God cannot use me." I said, "Nobody has fallen so far that God cannot use them. Nobody." And you get that in your head. Nobody. But you say, "But preacher, I've fallen short." Okay, then get yourself back up and make yourself tall. You don't have to stay there. You can get back up again. All right, in Luke chapter 2, verses 30 through 32, the Bible says, it says, "For mine eyes," it says, "have seen thy salvation." It says, "which thou hast prepared before the face of all the people. A light," it says, "to lighten the Gentiles and to glory," it says, "of thy people Israel." All right, so what is he saying? He's saying this. He's saying that he is that light, and he's lightened the way. He's helped people. He has been there for people. And by the way, he'll be there for you too. Clara Barton was used mightily in being able to spare soldiers, especially during devastating times. She was a worker there at the American Red Cross, and for numbers of years, she would go and she'd reach out to the soldiers to be able to help the soldiers. One day, one of the soldiers was very mean to her. Now, she was there as an aide. She was there as a volunteer. She was there working in a medical tent, and one of the soldiers was just very cruel and very mean to her and cursed her out and said some very nasty things to her. And the next day, as she was attending those that needed attention there with the Red Cross, working in that tent, she came across the soldier's bed, and the soldier said this. He says, now, I need to apologize to you. I said something to you yesterday. It was very unkind, very uncanny, and I'm sorry. And don't you remember that? And here's what she said. She said, I distinctively remember forgetting that. I distinctively remember forgetting that. See, when somebody is cruel to you and somebody is harsh to you, you can distinctively remember forgetting that and just go on in serving others. Father, bless, we do pray.